Do you like pumpkins? Do you like bottles and jars? What if I told you that you could combine those? At 31pumpkinlane.com, you'll find a variety of pumpkin jars, bottles, pendants, and other polymer clay creations crafted by Marissa Phillips. So visit 31pumpkinlane.com to grab something in time for Halloween. The price will be right.
Y'all heard?
Hey everybody, this is Y'all Heard.
A podcast with me, Marissa Phillips.
And me, Pete Phillips.
And we're not related.
And this is a show for curious people who want to hear about a variety of topics out there in the world. From
food
to fetishes.
Celebrities.
To unsung heroes. From things you think you know to
things you didn't know you needed to know.
Oh, I need to have how I'm doing, don't I? So how are you?
I don't know. I feel like out of body.
That's weird. Okay. Cool. Yeah. That's your full answer?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm also just wanted to let everybody know because I know everybody cares so much. I'm pulling for the Minnesota Lynx in the WNBA playoffs.
Is that LYNX or LINKS?
I don't know if I should dignify that with a response.
Okay, I'm going with the latter.
Yes, the Minnesota Hyperlynx.
Yeah, okay. Figured.
Yeah, just so everybody's cool. And
just so everybody's cool?
Yeah, just so everybody knows where I'm coming from.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, if you don't have anybody to root for, then you can root for them on my behalf if you'd like.
Okay.
Or if just you hate enough. Me, then you can root against them. Okay. Caitlin Clark won Rookie of the Year, and there are too many pictures of her with her tongue out.
Ooh. Is it deserved? No, right, I assume? In your opinion?
Nobody would talk about anybody else, so.
Okay.
But she sticks her tongue out like Michael Jordan, except she's not Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that's trying hard. Okay.
Yeah. Marissa, how are you? What's up with you?
I'm okay. I saw Pete this past weekend. I went to Scranton to go sell my little pumpkin statues. And Pete helped. Thank you for that, Pete. Well, by the time this airs, the Friday this airs, oh, not to plug up front, but I'll be selling my little pumpkin statues online again at 31pumpkinlane.com. But yeah, it was fun. I haven't been to Scranton in like a decade. And there's nothing else to explain about that. Except I went to a goth restaurant, which, so they had bread shaped like skulls with syringes of marinara sauce that you inject into them. What is your reaction to that?
I mean, it sounds silly. Yeah. And also, how thick of a syringe am I talking for marinara to get through there?
It was a really big syringe.
Yeah.
Like a real big one. The sauce went through no problem. I was just, because I was telling someone and they were like, that's so tacky. And I was like, it's a goth restaurant. Who cares? Right.
They got to do something fancy with the bread.
The most of the food was pretty good. A lot of stuff was served in skulls. If anyone lives in that area, the restaurant's Noir Dark Spirit. Other than that, my Halloween flag is up.
Woo! Nice.
I'm loving it. My husband asked me to ask my father if it was sacrilegious, which is not the way that works. But nope, I'm all in. I'm committed to it. I love it. Okay. Anyway, let's move on.
Marissa, today I have an icebreaker for you. It's, again, one of my... I fear that it's complicated, but sometimes when I throw these complicated ones at you, you're like, that's not complicated at all. So,
okay.
You have been promised that the idea that you have for this will be made into a streaming movie. Not a Hollywood movie, but at least a streaming movie.
Okay.
The only caveats from the production company are this. We need it to be a horror movie where something inanimate is possessed or haunted. I don't necessarily need to know the movie, But what object do you choose to be possessed or haunted?
I want to say a high-end espresso machine.
Oh.
Could have a lot of scenes with, like, people being scalded. That's it.
Nice.
Yep. I don't want to think anymore because that's the first thing that came into my head, and it sounds stupid.
And that's what icebreakers are about.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know why, I feel like I'm seeing high-end espresso machines often in my life recently. And, I mean, what other scenes could you get besides just being scalded, and how would parts of you be scalded besides your hand? I don't know, but somehow that would.
Well, there could be multiple victims, you know? Like the person who runs the cafe is too cheap to get a new machine, and all the employees keep getting maimed.
Oh, no, it's in someone's house.
Okay.
In my world, it's just in someone's house.
So is it so high-end that they have other people making coffee from time to time?
Maybe the wife will be scalded and disfigured. Somehow, not only will it be burning hot, it'll, like, be shooting out so much that it, like, goes on her face.
Yeah.
And then they just assume she was mishandling it. So then the husband does it, and something happens to him. And then they throw it out, but then it shows up back in their house. And then it's just making coffee when no one's asking it to make coffee. You know, stuff like that.
My mind went into a slightly different direction in that. Mine got to be too real world horror.
Okay.
Because the coffee machine was going to burn her. And he was going to, like, call an ambulance, you know, and they would come over and everything like that. And nobody would believe that it was the machine that did it. They all thought that he did it. Mm. And so his life begins a downward spiral.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes more sense, probably.
I like yours, too. That being said, I have watched a movie where pants were the killer. So.
Oh, God. I just want to say that I hate this new thing where now it's all like, your AI assistant is evil. Your smart home is evil. I really hate it. I hate it a lot.
I love it.
I haven't watched any of them, but they just seem like too boring and dumb.
I just watched one.
It seems like too easy. Like, no shit. That's why you don't see the coffee machine coming. But I absolutely see AI killing us now. So anyway, how about you?
I just watched one the other day. It was called Afraid with John Cho.
Yeah, that I was like, this is a waste of John Cho, which you might be saying, why do you feel like John Cho doesn't, like he's so deserving of a better film? I don't know, but he is. He does. Yep.
He was the best part.
Yeah, I like John Cho. He deserves better.
So going off of, you know, this is the first thing that comes to mind. For some reason, while you were talking about the high-end espresso machine, I can't shake loose from my head, like, the shower/bathtub.
Okay. Wait, did you not have an answer already?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Sometimes I write these and I mean to think about them.
So what does it do? Scald people? Does blood come out of it? Do people go down the drain?
Ooh, that's a good one. I was thinking, like, people kept falling down inside of it.
What? You're insane.
But yeah, so, like, people falling down, getting hurt. And, like, they only have one in the house or the apartment or whatever, so, and like, they have to,
you were gonna say, in the town.
They have to bathe, right? And like a plumber can come out and try to fix it, and then he gets killed. Yeah, I
but
think
they're always just falling.
I think what happened. No, I think what's gonna. I do really like the kind of like crazy zaniness of they get sucked down the drain. So I'm definitely gonna keep that. And like the plumber's gonna come to look at the thing. And he's going to get sucked down the drain.
Okay.
And they're going to come home and they're going to be like, well, the plumber was supposed to be here, but he just left his tool.
Okay. Is are going to be like nothing left behind or like blood?
I feel like nothing.
Okay, then that movie sounds silly.
But you can watch it because there's not blood.
Yes, okay. Yeah, but I don't like to watch any movie if it sucks. I like a horrifying movie that doesn't traumatize me, but I don't like a shitty movie just because it's not gory. No offense to your movie. I just think that turns into zany territory. Anyway, I like it. My movie sounds terrible, too. I wouldn't watch my own movie, I want to clarify.
And that's why it's on streaming, guys.
Yep, on Tubi. Mm-hmm. It's a Tubi original.
So today...
Wait, I'm sorry. Your Nespresso. Continue. That's my title.
Yeah, mine would have to have something with drain in it.
We'll come back to that.
So, today, I'm going to start with a story.
The devil's drain. Continue.
That's good. And it has to claim 6 victims
in order
to free, I guess, Satan.
Yeah, who lives in it.
Yeah. Yep. Lives in the New York City sewers.
Yep.
All right, so starting with a story here. It all started at Gartley's Blue Ribbon Laundry Service, where owner Bill Gartley's niece accidentally cut herself on an industrial-sized press-and-fold machine, which is not a surprise, a giant machine that irons and folds laundry.
That's a horror movie in itself.
Blood landed on the machine, and then strange things started to happen. An elderly employee, reaching for some medicine that she dropped, fell into the machine and was squashed. Gartley himself and 2 other employees were also killed, quote-unquote, by the hand of the machine.
Okay.
It was clear to the amateur demonologist Mark Johnson that the machine was possessed.
Is this supposed to be a real story?
In an attempt to exercise in the machine, he disappeared and was never heard from again.
Huh.
That's the plot to The Mangler.
Okay. Not that I thought it really happened, but like if it was a story that someone was trying to say, like, ooh, this really happened, but okay, got it.
That's going to be a running theme throughout this episode, what you just described.
Okay.
So yeah, that's the plot to The Mangler, which is the first in a trilogy of movies that start with a press and fold machine at a laundromat.
Whoa.
Being possessed. Whoa. Based on a Stephen King novel, or Stephen King's story, excuse me.
I would say I don't even know what a press and fold machine is, because I get it. It probably presses things and there's like steam, but like, how does the folding come into play? You don't need to answer that.
Good. Thanks. But the internet has many instances of people thinking that their laundry machines, whether it be a washer or a dryer, are haunted. And many people who think that their TVs or their alarm clocks or their microwaves are haunted, you know. Have you ever had something like that?
Like in real life?
Yeah.
I thought I saw a ghost once, but it wasn't like in an inanimate object,
okay,
no?
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Have you?
Often it's our ignorance that makes us think this. I personally don't know how a microwave works, so if the bulb inside flickers, I don't know why it's doing that. I just think that it's haunted by Florence. Yeah. Who is the woman who lived and probably died in my apartment.
In your microwave.
The bulb eventually burned out, and I replaced it, and it went out again within a few weeks. Thanks, Flo. The point is that spiritualism started up just as the Industrial Revolution was winding down, so it's not a surprise that the two are known to cross over at times. But think about it. Why do we fear monsters and aliens or strangers? Why do you, Marissa, fear the vastness of the ocean?
Because there's so much unknown, and we fear the unknown.
Fear is intrinsically tied to the unknown, especially when new technology comes along. We don't know what it's going to do or the impact it's going to have in our lives. When AI generates misinformation, for example, they call it a hallucination. And some people would also say that ghosts are a hallucination. So, I mean, does AI make ghosts?
Who says ghosts are a hallucination, you bitch?
I said some.
Okay.
You could go back to our Your Funeral, Y'all Heard About Your Funeral episode, to find out how AI can keep your loved one alive with texts and phone calls.
Ew, that's gross. I don't even remember us talking about that, but that's horrible.
So instead, let's talk about EVPs, right? When you want to do a little bit of ghost hunting, you grab a number of devices before you go out. You get your EVP recorder, you get your spirit box, your camcorder, maybe your thermal camera, or your temperature reader of some sort. And some of these machines are going to capture the appearance of a ghost, while some will have interactions with the ghost. Like you ask a question, and the EVP, you know, like it records the response that you can't hear in the moment, and then you discover it after the fact. Anyway, like a spirit box, for example, is delivering the ghost's message to you. If you want to hear more on ghost hunting equipment, you can look up our 46 South Wells Street episode. This episode doesn't have to do with any of that stuff. But this segment is to say that ghosts can interact with machines.
Okay.
Which finally brings us to the haunted vending machine of Capitol Hill.
Oh, man.
In Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
And I'm going to spoil it for you and tell you it's not haunted. And I'm telling you that so now you can say, okay, I don't have to poke holes in everything that Pete says for the next 20 minutes.
Okay.
I could just go along with it. And that wasn't for you, Marissa. That's for whoever's listening.
Oh, okay.
Diverse Capitol Hill is a part of Seattle packed with hip bars, eateries, and gay clubs, plus laid-back coffee shops and indie stores. Volunteer Park, atop a hill in the historic Mansion District, has trails, a plant conservatory, panoramic city views, and the Art Deco Asian Art Museum. It abuts the Lakeview Cemetery, where its city's founders and Bruce Lee are buried.
Okay.
In fact, that cemetery is only 1.5 miles away by foot from the mystery haunted soda machine. So, what makes this mystery machine so haunted? Of course, that's what you want to know, right? And you can imagine that if there are ghosts in Lakeview Cemetery under the dark of night, they kind of like drift down East John Street and they fill the vending machine.
Fill the vending machine?
Yeah.
Like they put new snacks in it that weren't there already?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
This is a soda one, by the way.
So they put, like, food in a soda machine?
No, they don't put food in it. The vending machine is a soda vending machine.
So they take out all of the Coke Zero and replace it with Mountain Dew Voodoo? That'd be pretty scary.
For most of us, we don't know who loads any vending machines in our lives because we don't notice. Huh? Get it? We don't know because we don't notice.
Oh, nice. I was like, how is that a pun on ghosts?
If we opened our eyes a little bit, maybe we would see these people. But they deliver, for lack of a better term, live drinks, right?
The fuck is a live drink?
What of the dead drinks that have gone by? How did they find themselves stocked in the machine under a button labeled only mystery?
Do you mean drinks that don't exist anymore? What do you mean? What is a dead drink?
We'll theorize about that.
Okay. Is that actually what it said?
Oh, no. I wrote it.
Oh, okay.
Legend, and by that I mean Wikipedia, says that the machine went up in the area in the late 90s, though it looks a bit more retro than that. It looks like a Vendo model based on ads that I'm seeing from the 1960s. The big Coke logo is like that of the 70s when Coke introduced the quote-unquote dynamic ribbon to their logo. The logo is still around, you know, with the dynamic ribbon, but the font that they use now doesn't match the sort of silly fonts that they had in the 80s. And so what I'm trying to say is that the machine looks older, like it actually did maybe come from the late 70s. But okay. The machine mysteriously gets placed in the 90s. But it wasn't brand new even then. You might say that it could have been dead, but it was bolted to the sidewalk and it was independent. As, you know, Seattle is a home of indie stuff. I mention it being independent because it didn't just offer Coke flavors, despite the sign on the machine. It actually offered regular items like Coke, Pepsi, diet varieties of each, 7-Up, Mountain Dew, Barks Root Beer. But the real appeal of the machine was this mystery button, which dispensed a seemingly random option to patrons.
That's cool.
Lemon Lime Slice, Pepsi AM, Crystal Pepsi.
Pepsi AM.
I can tell you about it. And Hubba Bubba Bubblegum Soda are just 4 flavors reported to come from the mystery button.
Okay.
Pepsi AM was a short-lived Pepsi product where coffee? They were trying to get people to drink Pepsi in the morning, like Ooh. Instead of coffee.
Yeah.
So it had a slight coffee flavor to it. Yeah, and that was, and it didn't last very long. Same thing with Crystal Pepsi. And Lemon Lime Slice, you know, has been turned into Sierra Mist, which has been turned into Starry. So to get a lemon lime slice would be very weird. Okay, now we're next going to talk about what makes a soda dead. And Marissa, big soda fan, you can chime in whenever you'd like here. The U.S. Department of Agriculture kicks the concern over to the FDA and quotes them saying that carbonated soft drinks or sodas are not perishable and are safe past the due date stamped on the container. Eventually, flavor and carbonation will decrease. For best quality, consume the unopened diet soda within 3 months after the expiration date and regular sodas within 9 months.
Okay.
After opening, sodas may be safely stored in the pantry or refrigerator. So
after opening?
I know.
Ew. You don't have to. Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know.
I'm just going to put this back in the pantry.
Yeah, that's gross. Okay. It'd be like hot soda, I guess.
So does an expiration date mean that it's just the beginning of a slow death for soda? If you get a 3-year-old Coke Zero today for free, would you be excited to drink it?
Would I be excited? No. Would I fear it? Also, no. Would I call it dead? No.
Would you even look at the label to see if it's past the expiration date? Probably not, because you know it is.
I put gum from the 80s in my mouth. Like, I don't think I'd look.
Or the soda die when it's discontinued. When production halts and the last cans stop coming off of the line, is soda finally dead?
Ooh, well, I mean, this fits with the fact that early this morning, Pete told me that it was announced that Coke Raspberry Spice is dead. It's being discontinued.
Dead.
Yeah. Fuck that.
And see, in that situation, you're like, I wish it was dead, so I'm going to say that discontinued equals dead.
Wait, so the soda machine gives old sodas?
Or, Marissa, is the soda dead after the last drop of the soda crosses the lips of the last person to drink it?
So does everything I have for dinner die every day?
In this case, I think that having a discontinued soda is like having a ghost soda.
I will say this. If I went to a soda machine and I got a soda that's at least 10 years old, I would find that terrifying. So yes, it has to be at least a decade old to be a ghost soda. I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm. That is why the Capitol Hill soda machine is haunted. It was dispensing Pepsi AM after its 1 year of production.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Oh, and I also have in my notes here that they added 25% more caffeine to Pepsi AM.
Oof, that sounds scary.
And man, there was a diet variant.
If I went to a soda machine and a Crystal Pepsi came out, I would fucking jizz my pants. That would be so fucking awesome.
Long after Sierra Mist replaced Slice in 2000, the machine was dispensing the lemon lime soda, which, as I said before, is now Starry.
Yeah.
Hubba Bubba was related to a bubblegum brand.
That sounds disgusting.
But it was discontinued in the late 80s or early 90s. But it was still coming out of the machine. And Crystal Pepsi, of course, apparently tasted like Pepsi with real sugar and was notably clear.
How would no one like that? How? Oh, I dream of a Crystal Pepsi.
Did you know, Marissa, that at around the same time that Crystal Pepsi was first released, Coca-Cola followed suit by releasing Tab Clear?
Oh, no.
This was an intentional kamikaze effort to create an unpopular beverage positioned against the analog of Crystal Pepsi to, quote-unquote, kill both in the process.
Oh, wow. That's evil.
Meaning if you had Tab Clear, you were like, oh, my God, this tastes awful, then you would never try Crystal Pepsi because it's the same thing, you know?
That's devious. Okay.
And, They succeeded, of course. The Coca-Cola Corporation succeeded when both were discontinued in 1994.
Okay.
A Vice reporter who visited the machine said that they got Mountain Dew Whiteout, a raspberry-flavored Nesty Brisk, a Hawaiian Punch, and a grape Fanta.
The Hawaiian Punch is fun. The Brisk and the Fanta are unimpressive. I don't know what Mountain Dew Whiteout is, so I'm all for that.
I believe in the same article, they were like, you can never find a Nesty Brisk anymore.
Oh, I guess.
Like in a can, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's been rumored to dispense Vanilla Cokes, Black Cherry Frescas, and Sunkissed Cherry Limeade.
Ooh, that's cool. I want to go there.
A Seattle Times reporter.
I said they're weird. What?
I'm going to go there. A Seattle Times reporter got Mountain Dew Whiteout, Pink Lemonade Minute Maid, and a vintage-looking Dr. Pepper that they swore was, like, at least from a decade ago.
beautiful. Oh, my God.
Others have reported, and I'm not saying that all of these are dead sodas, but it's the fact that you can hit this button and get any number of things. Have reported getting Cherry Coke, Pineapple Fanta, Strawberry Fanta, Country Time Lemonade, Mountain Dew Code Red, Cherry Dr. Pepper, Mug Root Beer, Orange Crush, Squirt, and Sierra Mist. One Redditor even said that they got an apple soda from Mexico.
Ooh, I like this. I want to go. Does it still exist?
So, in Seattle, a machine that is old enough to be dead itself is dispensing live and dead soda brands well after their expiration dates. By 2014, all the buttons on the machine were just set to mystery. And that's nice and easy for the ghosts who are stocking the machines, because you don't have to worry about having enough of any brand at all, because you could just throw them in there.
Yeah.
Now, I know what you're thinking. A machine needs power. And wherever that power is coming from is probably the person who owns it. The power is coming from a store that it is standing in front of called Broadway Locksmith. The Better Business Bureau says that this business is 50 years old, though some sources say it was founded in 1951.
Okay.
But it looks like things were handed off at some point, because the owner now is around 50 years old. So, again, new ownership at some point. But they must have been on to it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how much power it takes to run a soda machine.
Are you saying, like, electrical power?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is wired to this particular business, and this particular business just, like, pays the electricity bill.
Okay.
Quote, I've honestly never seen anyone open it, offers Mickey, the locksmith business's earnest-sounding general manager.
Oh.
Do people get soda out of it frequently, I ask him. I'm a Vice reporter in this reading.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, all the time, all day long, he said. And yet, in a decade and a half, you've never seen anyone tampering with it or refilling it, I ask. Nope, he shrugs. He must come in the middle of the night or on a weekend or something. Or, as our theory states, the soda emissaries could be a restless, undead spirit able to transcend the laws of space and time in order to supply an endless assortment of carbonated drinks. I didn't write that, guys.
What the fuck? I mean, yeah, okay. That got... No, they're playing into the story, don't you think?
The people who own the...
Yeah.
I don't know. Because... Well, I don't want to... It's coming up soon anyway, you're going to find out. The machine disappeared in 2018.
Oh, no!
And whoever, the guy who owns it now, owned it back then, too. So I'm not convinced that at least the people, I don't know. I don't think they're onto it. I'll say this much. Many of the people who have reported on this have said, if they're not onto it, every single person who works there is committed to the same exact story that they've never seen anybody fill it before.
Now,
this is on a sidewalk in Seattle, and so the city must have some sort of record of it. The Seattle Times reached out to city officials to see if anyone had filed a permit, for example, to operate the vending machine, but a city spokeswoman said that there were no permits on file for the vending machine.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Or is this a ghost machine? Because it's gone now. In, as I said, 2018, when Seattle was redoing a bus stop area and the curbing on this corner, the machine disappeared. By then, it had been targeted by vandals, spotted with stickers and scarred by graffiti of the worst kind, pen graffiti. And after decades on the corner, the machine was just gone. In its place, taped to a nearby railing, was a sign that indicated that the spirits managing the machine didn't have as cool a sense of humor as you'd wish. The sign said, went for a walk. The Facebook profile for the machine explained, going for a walk, need to find myself, maybe take a shower even. The shower, of course, a reference to the graffiti and needing, you know, to have it cleaned.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
According to Atlas Obscura, the machine resurfaced in 2022 on a more remote street corner, less prone to foot traffic. No photos were posted of this, although I did find some of them today.
Okay.
And it's a completely different machine. The buttons are in a totally different place. The logo looks totally different. So I think it's just somebody trying to ride the coattails.
Is it still all mystery?
I believe it was three flavors and the rest of the buttons were mystery.
Okay.
But there were no photos and they also didn't cite a source for the information that it was on the street corner. It didn't last very long. It was gone after like a few months.
Oh, but I'm so sad. This sounded so cool.
Some articles do cite a primary source. One, Sarah Hamilton, a.k.a. Sea of Doom on Twitter/X.
Okay.
She posted a photo in 2014. A photo of genuinely real, non-translucent people working on the opened machine.
Oh.
A man in jeans and a t-shirt and a trucker cap and a woman in jeans and a denim jacket. Though, you can't see their faces. Perhaps they were dead-eyed. Perhaps they were possessed themselves.
Okay, right.
Now hang on a second here.
Oh, okay.
That's them.
Yeah. Huh. All right.
And so, in the end, the machine disappeared from service. It was last seen on Facebook this past June, looking much worse for the wear. That's what the machine looks like now.
Oh, that's so sad.
The machine is on a forklift. It is, just covered with graffiti, rusted out on the bottom. It just doesn't look good.
Why is everyone a fucking fuckhead and we can't have anything good and no one could just let things alone? I hate this country.
One photo shows it from a garage entrance, a shot facing the street. So from inside the garage, taking a picture of the front of the machine, but behind it is a street, like a suburb street. I checked on our primary suspect, who would be Eric Hayes, the guy who now runs Broadway Locksmith.
Mm-hmm.
The photos did not match his neighborhood. Yes, I did a lot of street views from different okay. angles to see, and it didn't match it. The vending machine has been on Facebook for about 13 years now, posting silly photoshops of its quote-unquote travels and throwing out little signs that it's alive, both physically and spiritually. So what can we learn?
How does it show that it's alive spiritually?
Just go with it. We're okay. leading into Halloween.
Hey, I love this topic.
So what can we learn from the haunted vending machine of Capitol Hill? Perhaps it's this. Magic can exist in the world if you don't like shitting all over things. It's good to be skeptical, but it's also fun to believe in silly, harmless things as well.
Mm-hmm.
So go do something weird in the world and rest in the knowledge that someone will take notice and they will like it. Maybe not 35,000 followers like this vending machine has, but that's okay.
Man. I wish I had vending machine followers. Do I? No, I don't. I like that. Man, I would love to see that vending machine.
Yeah. It is kind of cruel. I realize now that I just told you about something and I gave it to you and took it away.
I know. Oh, man, I love an old vending machine. We have an old vending machine a few blocks down from me. And I'm also just like, I just live in this residential area. Who the fuck is going here to get a can of Coke
mm-hmm.
other than me? Man, if one day I put money in and I get a, what is it called? Pepsi AM.
Mm-hmm.
Which is my pants.
Somebody's going to have to clean her up off the street.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, thank you. Well, that's, oh, man, I don't remember what it was called. Maybe it was Coke Black or something. Here's something else. There used to be in college, or was it Pepsi Black?
Yeah.
I don't know. When I was in college.
Coffee one?
Yeah, there was a coffee mm-hmm. Coke that, oh, I was like so into. I wish that if I put money into a machine and got like an unexpected soda, I would want it to either be that or I'll even take Coke Starlight. I know it hasn't been out that long, but I miss it. I miss it every day.
I don't think I got the, did I get to have that one?
Tasted like marshmallows, in my opinion.
Is that the one that tasted like space?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. I think I did have that one.
I think all of them were disappointing between Starlight and Oreo.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Happy Tears a little bit. What soda do you wish you'd get?
I mean,
if you just tell me a normal one that you could actually get in the store, I'm going to kill you. Which I feel is like what you would say.
But, like, I could get it in the store, but not in a way that I could get it in the store. What I mean is, I'm not going to buy a 12-pack of cherry Dr. Pepper just to mm-hmm. see how it tastes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a few different varieties of Dr. Pepper, and yeah. I think I'd be okay with any of those.
Okay.
They have, like, a vanilla, a cherry, and then, like, a third one, I think.
I never got to try the cherry chocolate. Dr. Pepper. That sounded delicious. The one that Tezande made a song for.
Oh. Oh, one of them is cream.
Just cream, Dr. Pepper? Oh. Berries and cream?
Strawberries and cream. Not interested.
I'd like to try that.
Cherry, interested. Cream soda. I guess I would be okay with it if it was the zero sugar one. Oh, yeah. And then they have cherry vanilla. Yeah.
That's
they have caffeine-free Dr. Pepper.
Why does that surprise you?
Because I've never seen it before in my life. So you know what? Uh-huh. That's going to be it.
Okay. Got it.
If I put 75 cents and I got a diet caffeine-free Dr. Pepper, I would jizz my pants.
If I went to Washington to get this fucking soda,
Marissa would kick me in the face.
Yeah, I would. I would kick you in the face and I would kick the machine. I would kill the machine. Yeah, thank you. I didn't know what the hell, where this was going. So that was a nice unexpected topic.
I thought it was a fun topic. And part of the reason why this show is structured the way that it is because there really wasn't a lot of information on it. Can you tell?
Gotcha.
Despite the numerous articles written about it,
yeah,
it's just repeating a lot of the same stuff every time. So
okay.
Plugs.
So I guess you got any plugs?
Marissa, I have multiple plugs today.
Okay.
So while I was working on this, it reminded me of a movie called The Civil Dead, which you can watch on Showtime. Which might mean you can watch it on Paramount Plus, I'm not really sure. But it's a movie where one of the guys is dead, and it's supposed to be like a dead person buddy comedy. But the guy is dead, and all he can do is really just wander around, and it's kind of sad. His existence is kind of sad. It kind of reminded me of the sadness of this soda machine.
Aww.
I also wanted to plug Nandor Fodor and the Talking Mongoose,
okay,
which is a movie based on Jeff the Talking Mongoose. You can watch this movie on Amazon Prime. The point of that movie is the point that I hope you get to walk away from this episode with, that you can believe, you can choose to believe in certain things.
Mm. Okay.
And again, hopefully they're not harmful.
Yeah. That is very true. Like, don't choose to believe in the Great Replacement Theory, but mm-hmm, do yeah, choose to believe in Haunted Coke Machine.
Absolutely. You got it.
Yep.
James Adomian also has his new special out on YouTube. It's called Path of Most Resistance, and it's fun to watch.
Okay.
And cool. I've also been listening to a new-to-me podcast called Two Old Queens, and they're doing all of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Oh, okay.
So it's fun.
I am going to plug myself. 31, the number 31, pumpkinlane.com, if you would like to check out some of the little pumpkin shits I have for sale. And when this goes out, they might not be up, but they'll be up by Friday night. Anything else?
They're going to be prime photos, by the way.
What's going to be... Oh. This camera, we have a camera, but it's so fancy. I don't even know how to use it. Anyway. There's probably other stuff, but that's enough for now. Guys, if you want to call us, you can call us at 570-POD-1-1. If you have any ideas or just want to say hi, you can email us at...
y'allheardpod@gmail.com.
Right. And as always, feel free to slide into my DMs at RissVandal, RISSVANDAL. And
don't forget our Patreon.
What is our Patreon? Patreon.com/y'allheard.
Yeah. Apparently you can sign up to be a free member and not get anything in particular. So if you don't have money but you still want to show your support, you can do that.
Did somebody do that?
Somebody did.
Oh, when we get off, tell me what their email is. Okay. Thanks for listening, guys. Stay safe out there. Bye.
Bye.